Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to a mini episode of Cinematic Universe, the podcast that's all about comic book movies, which you can find at cinematicmultiverse.com. I'm your host, Joe Cunningham, and I'll be bringing you a truncated version of the show to bridge the gap between our Logan and Tank Girl episodes. I'll be giving you my reactions to the comics that James recommended on last week's podcast, which were Old Man Logan and The Punisher, The End. But before any of that, let's take a look at some of the comic book movie news that has broken over the past week. And the obvious place to start is Thor Ragnarok, because we got a bunch of new images from the film, courtesy of Entertainment Weekly. And I think the headlines are haircut and hella. So we have Thor with a Sean look. He's now carrying swords instead of Mjolnir. And all his hair has been cut off. And there's been some negative reaction to Thor's new look, but I think he looks pretty great, you guys. Mostly though, in these images, it seems like the thing that they want us to take away from this is that this is going to be a very colourful movie. We have Jeff Goldblum's Grandmaster wearing an incredible Dayglow costume with kind of fluorescent face paint and wild hair, and he looks great. There is Loki and Valkyrie, Tessa Thompson's Valkyrie, we've seen an image for now. She looks pretty great. But I think it's Kate Blanchett who steals the show, because she looks incredibly villainous, and the kind of character design that you think, oh, if the performance matches and it's Kate Blanchett, so why wouldn't it? Then this could be a really iconic villain. We'll have to wait and see, because there's every chance that we barely see Hela in the movie. We did get a brief plot synopsis, or kind of talk around the plot in the article accompanying the Entertainment Weekly shots. That revealed that the plot kind of starts with Kate Blanchett's character having been locked up for like millennia, and it's Loki's kind of loose running of Asgard that leads to her being released by mistake. And when she is released, there is some kind of throwdown with Thor, and he is sent through a wormhole, and apparently Sakaar is where he ends up, which is where he will encounter Valkyrie and Hulk, and will go and fight Hulk in the gladiatorial arena. We don't know where that fits in with the stuff that we saw in the post-credit scene in Doctor Strange, because obviously we saw Thor on Earth in Doctor Strange, and the implication from this synopsis is that Thor will be going on his road trip with Hulk after the Sakaar sequences, so kind of in the second half of the film. So whether that maybe takes a long time, or a long enough time that his hair grows back, I don't know. But yeah, apparently it will kind of, the road trip will be Thor and Hulk searching for Odin, which is obviously the person that Thor was referring to in that post-credit sequence. Thor Ragnarok, it looks pretty out there. This is definitely a change of pace for that franchise, and I'm looking forward to that as much as any other comic book movie this year at this point. But we'll move on now to some X-Men stuff, and we'll start off with Logan, which obviously we had a deep discussion of on last week's podcast. There is going to be a black and white version of the film, or at least there is highly likely to be a black and white version of the film appearing on the film's Blu-ray release. James Mangold has been asked repeatedly about this and has now confirmed it. I personally don't have much interest in seeing a black and white version of this. I've seen like black and whiteified versions of films before, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But personally, I thought Logan was a pretty beautiful looking film, and especially given that it's a throwback to westerns, and it has that kind of that western landscape across New Mexico. I want to see it in its original colors. I don't want to see it in black and white personally. Apparently there is interest, so that is what they're going to do. Another detail that we missed off our Logan podcast because we hadn't seen it at that point was the Deadpool teaser, which is being airing in front of releases of Logan, at least in North America. I'm not sure whether it's on UK prints yet. I saw this when it was on general release in the UK, so and it wasn't on there when I saw it. So either it's delayed or it's just showing in North America, kind of like that Avengers sting with the shawarma. But the Deadpool teaser is now online. It's like, it's not footage from the movie. It's like a 3.5 minute short almost. There is Deadpool spotting a mugging going down in a alleyway, and he runs off Superman style to get changed into his costume in a phone booth, and then he comes out and he meets Stan Lee. There's a cameo from Stan Lee, that's a joke there, and then by the time he's got to the alleyway, the person who has been mugged has been killed. There's a tease in there about Nathan Summers' Cable coming in the next Deadpool movie. There's also a bit of graffiti that says Hope, and some people are linking that to the character of Hope Summers and thinking that maybe she will appear in Deadpool 2, or potentially even in X-Force, which is going to be a Cable and Deadpool-led movie. Personally, I thought this teaser was a bit of a dud, and I haven't seen people really talking much about it critically, but I thought that if this is a short movie, then let's talk about it like that rather than a trailer. It's a bad one. The comedic timing is way off. There aren't many jokes. There's not the rate of jokes that there were in Deadpool, and it just felt really off to me. Like I was bored watching it. I'm sure some people really liked it, but I didn't, and it didn't make me any more excited for Deadpool 2. But it has reminded people that that movie's coming ahead of Logan, which is making a whole heap of money. So I guess that's a good place to advertise it. On the point of Cable, though, there's been a couple of names linked to that part now, which seem to have a little bit more veracity than previous ones. Russell Crowe keeps being linked, but the big name, the big rumour right now is David Harbour, who plays Detective Hopper on Stranger Things. Now, I've been vocal on this podcast and on Twitter before about not really liking Stranger Things, but my one exception to that would be David Harbour, who I think is absolutely excellent on the show. Like, by a country mile, anytime he turns up, I'm like, okay, I'm interested again. So David Harbour as Cable, I would be pro that. I'd like to see that actor bouncing off Ryan Reynolds in that movie. Russell Crowe, I like Russell Crowe, but less so. Like, I feel like I've seen him do that Cable thing probably in The Nice Guys, or a stretch on that. He's acted alongside Orion in a goofy buddy movie. Let's not do it again. Moving over to TV now, and Marvel stuff. The Inhumans cast has come together. We've also got a release date for that. That will be making its debut on IMAX screens on September the 1st, so probably expect it to be on TV screens about 2 weeks after that. Hell on Wheels star Anson Mount has been cast as Black Bolt. I haven't seen Hell on Wheels, but I know some people like him very much, and it'll be interesting to see how much of a lead he is in this show, given that he is a character who doesn't talk. the first character, the first piece of casting that was announced was Ewan Rhian, the Game of Thrones and Misfits star, as Maximus. There was a couple of places referring to him as a lead, so I do wonder whether maybe this has been set up as some kind of more anti-hero kind of show. But Anson Mount is a decent-sized-ish name, but I wonder whether Ewan Rhian maybe is the most recognisable face in this cast. Otherwise, there's Surinder Swan as Medusa, who I don't know very well, but is not Ginger. So, you know, justice for Gingers. We've got to be casting Gingers and Ginger roles, you guys. Ken Leung as Karnak, who's probably the member of this cast that I'm most excited about. He's one of those guys that anytime he turns up in anything, I'm like, oh, Ken Leung, great. And Karnak is, from my experience with these characters, one of the more interesting of the ones that I've seen. Isabel Cornish has been cast as Crystal. I don't know her work, but she is the younger sister of Abby Cornish. We've got M.A. Ikwuoka as Gorgon, Mike Moe as Triton, and Sonia Balmares as Auron. I don't really know any of those actors or any of those characters very well, but they're all going to be in it as well. So Inhumans, shaping up, and we can expect to see it on September the 1st. And finally, we got our final look at Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 before its release. It was more of the same, basically. There was a little bit of a spotlight on all of the characters. Gamora finally got to talk in a Guardians of the Galaxy trailer. And I'm really hoping that now that this team is a bit more gender balanced with Nebula and Gamora and Mantis, that the female characters do get a bit more of a showcase in this film. And that it's not just the Baby Groot movie. Baby Groot doesn't get quite as much focus in this trailer, which is nice as well, because while I'm looking forward to seeing that character in a full movie, I'm wary of it being the Baby Groot movie. But it doesn't look like it will be. And right at the end of the trailer, we finally got our first look at Kurt Russell as Ego the Living Planet, except in human form. So I'm not quite sure how that's going to work in the movie, but obviously we're going to see Kurt Russell in human form and presumably in planet form as well, and an explanation behind how that works. But basically, Kurt Russell looks like Kurt Russell, and I'm sure it's going to be fun watching him and Chris Pratt banter away in that movie. It also looks like it's some early stuff in the movie, like that it's not going to be any kind of big revelation late into the movie. It's probably going to be pretty early on. And it looks like Elizabeth Debicki's Aisha and this gold-skinned race are going to be probably the prime antagonists of the movie. And that's some great character design as well. So go Marvel giving some female characters, some female villain characters, some great character design at the very least in their 2017 movies. But that's it for this week's comic book movie and TV news. We'll move on now to our discussion of the comics that James recommended on our Logan podcast. And I think we'll probably start off with the main recommendation. This was Old Man Logan from Mark Miller and Steve McNiven. An 8-issue run of Wolverine comics from, I believe, like the mid-2000s. I read all of these on Marvel Unlimited. You can find them there. Our other recommendation is, although it's a Marvel comic, it's a Max, Punisher Max comic, so it's not available Unlimited. So you'll have to find that elsewhere if you do want to read along. But Old Man Logan, I imagine this is one of the comics that I'm going to be talking about on the podcast that a higher percentage of our listeners will have read than normal. It's quite a famous comic, and it was quite openly some kind of influence, maybe not a plot influence, but had some influence on Logan. So I think quite a lot of people will have read it in the build-up to Logan's release. I didn't. I held back. I was thinking about reading it, but I thought, well, I'm going to be recommended it afterwards anyway, and I do like to go into these movies without the weight of the comics, because I can just get Seven James to cover that aspect and I can go into them fresh. But yeah, so Old Man Logan, I will do a kind of brief synopsis of the comic for those of you who haven't read it. It is set, it's kind of like a what if comic, or like a potential future similar to Logan, I think. In that we are set like 50 years in the future, or 50 years after this big attack where all of these supervillains of the world kind of banded together, led by characters like Magneto and the Red Skull. They realized that every villain kind of the villains in the world outnumber the heroes 10 to 1 at least, because every hero has multiple villains who just they cycle through, which is a great idea for a setup. Hey, there's a lot more villains. If they all just get together, they're going to be able to take out the heroes. So they do that. They take out the heroes and kind of carve up America between them. There's some stuff in the comic that's kind of it's like held back on the reveals in it, but I'm just going to spoil them here, so if you don't want to find out everything about it, look away now. But yeah, the Red Skull is the president in this kind of post-apocalyptic future, and the rest of the country has been divided up between the rest of the villains. And so we have kind of the West Coast is now called Hulkland, formerly the Abomination's territory. Then we have the Kingdom of the Kingpin, formerly the domain of Magneto. The middle of America is kind of its own blank space. There's then Doom's Lair. There is a region where Osborn City is the area that they're going to be passing through. And the East Coast is the President's Quarter. But there's all these like little marks on the map, like there's an area which is the lair of the Creel gang, or we've got Pym Falls, and we've got Cree Haven, and it's basically a post-apocalyptic America that has been split up between the villains. And Wolverine is living in Sacramento. He has a wife and two kids, and hasn't used his claws or been violent in the 50 years that have passed. He is one of the few remaining superheroes. Another one is Hawkeye. And the two of them, Hawkeye hires Logan to go on a road trip with him across America to drop something off over in the President's Quarter. Logan knows, is willing to accept this on the proviso that he doesn't have to use his claws, that he's not going to engage in any violence. And does it because he needs the money, because they've missed rent for the first time ever. And
ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Hulk clan, who are these kind of like inbred descendants of Bruce Banner and She-Hulk, a kind of like redneck deliverance takes on Hulks. They're gonna come and beat the crap out of Logan and potentially kill his entire family if he doesn't pay double rent next month. So he has 4 weeks to basically get across America and get back, earn his money and pay off the Hulks. So he goes on this adventure with Hawkeye, and we basically see him going across the country, and we find out along the way kind of what happened to various heroes. We see what the state of superheroes is in this apocalyptic future, how the villains have kind of survived, and it's, I would say, in terms of world building, it's a really like fun piece of fan fiction from Mark Miller. He's fought through this world that exists when all the heroes have been thwarted and all the villains have taken over, and it's pretty well realized. And it's kind of like, oh, who are we going to discover next? What little detail are we going to find next? Hawkeye has a daughter who is kind of inspired to become a superhero and gets captured by the new Kingpin. So there's all that kind of stuff in there. And I've got to say, it's a really, really propulsive, easy read. Like, I smashed through this comic in one sitting. There's 7 issues that are in the main Wolverine comic line. You'll be able to find them by kind of just searching for... In fact, if you're on Marvel Unlimited, it's on kind of like the... Issue 1 is on the most like recently or most read section on the front page right now, because there's a bunch of stuff there. I was emailing Seb and James my thoughts about this comic afterwards, and here's what I said to them. It's probably easiest if I just read it verbatim. I was like, Old Man Logan is a very easy read, but also a very inconsequential one. It actually surprised me quite how little it ended up being about. It just felt like an exercise in fanfiction. That's not to say it's bad, because it's very propulsive storytelling, but it felt so empty. To which Seb replied, just quoting what I'd said before, and said, well done, you have understood Mark Miller. So that would kind of be my summation of Old Man Logan. It's a fun read, it's an easy read, you can blast through it. But it does feel kind of empty. Like, it doesn't feel like there's an awful lot of substance to the story. There are some cool bits, there are some fun bits, there's some good world building, but it's not really about anything. And I think certainly if you're watching this, if you're reading this after watching Logan, you're going to think, well, Logan tells a similar story. It doesn't have all of the Marvel Universe to play with. It doesn't have Hawkeye. But it tells a story that is a lot more about its central character. And it feels like it's about something in the way that Old Man Logan just really doesn't. I mean, there's some cool stuff. There's some cool parallels with the movie. So in Old Man Logan, it's Wolverine who's responsible for having killed all the X-Men in the past. When all the villains attack, Mysterio kind of mind controls Logan and makes him think that all of these villains are attacking him in the X-Mansion, except they're not. It's just his fellow X-Men. So Wolverine kind of goes into this berserker rage, thinks that he's killing all of these villains that are attacking them, but he's not doing. He's killing all of the other X-Men. So like Kitty Pryde and Storm and... You see like image after image of all of these dead mutants around him, and so Wolverine has kind of been like forever scarred by that and has vowed not to use his claws again. We kind of see him commit to that for like maybe the first 6 or 7 issues of this comic, until Hawkeye is killed. And then there is this admittedly really, really cool page where you just see a blank page and the word snicked on the page, and then Wolverine unleashes his claws and throws down, and his first fight is with the President Red Skull. Another comic, another week where closer to reality than we would like. But yeah, President Red Skull is taken out by Wolverine. Wolverine then gets back to his home 2 weeks early, thinks that it's going to be fine, but he arrives, his wife and children have been killed by the Hulks, who got bored of waiting. So then Wolverine kind of goes berserker on all the Hulks, and... yeah, that's kind of like, again, drop the reference again, a John Wick kind of revenge couple of issues where Hulk, where all the Hulks are taken out one by one by Wolverine, until Wolverine actually gets to Bruce Banner, original Hulk, who's now old but still powerful and still able to transform into the badass Hulk. And there's a big fight there, which includes some really grisly stuff. It happened. It was fine. There's some fun ideas, but yeah, I felt a little bit empty. And Seb's description of, well done, you've understood Mark Miller. I get that. And I get that Mark Miller, it kind of has a reputation, and this kind of stuff. But I've also read some Mark Miller stuff that I've enjoyed. I feel like Kick-Ass isn't quite as empty as this. But yeah, there's no denying that Mark Miller can tell stories that you want to read. It's just maybe that I didn't particularly want to think an awful lot about afterwards. So my recommendation to anyone would be, you know, read this comic. It's fun, but don't have any particularly high expectations. It's kind of fun because it gets to play around with ideas within the Marvel Universe and use certain characters that movies, you know, the movies would never be able to tell this story. But I'm not sure they'd want to. So I would say, yeah, if you had to choose between the two, watch Logan. Don't read Old Man Logan. But if you've got like a couple of hours spare, you'll be able to blast through Old Man Logan, and I think you'll enjoy it just fine. Yeah. But we'll move on now to James's other recommendation, which was The Punisher: The End, which is from Garth Ennis and Richard Corbin. Just a single issue here that imagines kind of the last mission of The Punisher. And this is another post-apocalyptic wasteland comic. But one I enjoyed an awful lot more. So this is, the Punisher is in jail. And while he's in jail, kind of shit is going down in the outside world. Nuclear war that is going to, it's mutually assured destruction between all nations. And this is going down while the Punisher's in jail because he got old, basically, and was able to be finally caught. So, before all this stuff is going down, the jailers have been ordered to go around and kill all of the prisoners on the off chance that they do escape, that things, not everyone does die, that they wouldn't want like the prisoners being able to just get out there and be roaming free. So they kill all the prisoners, except, of course, they're not able to kill Wolverine, they're not able to kill the Punisher. And this prison also happens to have an underground bunker where all of the guards are going to go and hide out after the bombs go off. Punisher takes them all out, and him and a couple of other prisoners are able to take refuge in the bunker. A year passes, and Punisher finally kind of emerges, and he knows with the nuclear war that he's not going to survive out there, that he's got like maximum about 72 hours out in the outside world. The radiation will kill him. But otherwise he's going to, you know, just kind of rot out the rest of his days in this bunker. And he has a mission because there was a fellow prisoner of his that, gave him some information before he died down in the bunker. And so Punisher and one other, prisoner who is with him, kind of go on this journey from the prison they're in to New York City, where they have somewhere that they want to get to. And it turns out that there is another like underground bunker sealed off from the outside world. And there's a few around the world where kind of the richest and most powerful people have made this, have kind of made these bunkers. It's kind of Kingsman-esque. So you think at the end of the Kingsman movie that all these rich and powerful people have found this place that they're going to survive while the rest of the world perishes. And Punisher gets there and takes a bunch of people out until he gets to this room where all the rich and powerful people are. He basically turns up and he's like, yeah, all right, I'm going to kill you now. I'm going to kill you all now. And the guy, this main guy in the bunker, says to him, look, you're free to kill us if you want, but let me tell you something first. Like, we built a load of these bunkers, but during the course of the past year, the rest of the bunkers have started going dark. We've lost communications with a lot of them. We think things have gone wrong. And basically, we are the last of humanity here. So it's all these kind of like middle-aged, rich, white guys, and they're like, you know, we've frozen some eggs. You know, we're going to be able to we're going to be able to let humanity rebuild itself from here. We're going to be able to, you know, keep mankind alive, keep mankind's future alive, because we exist here. Otherwise, everyone else is dead. Like, we're surprised you managed to get here. No one can go outside for the next 100 years. Like, so if you kill us, you destroy the human race. And the Punisher kind of shrugs and goes, yeah, well, you kind of deserve it. You're the people, you're the people who brought about this war for your greed and your villainy, and you don't deserve to survive. I don't care whether you're the last of humanity. I don't care whether humanity is able to prosper because of you. You have sinned and you deserve to die, and just kills them all. Because that's what the Punisher does. He doesn't have any time for nuance or arguments or philosophy or this or that. And maybe humanity doesn't deserve to go on. So he just kills all of these guys in the bunker. And basically, the Punisher ends humankind there in that bunker because they were bad people. They deserve to die. And that's what the Punisher does. And I love this as kind of a natural endpoint for this character. Just this character who deals out punishment, or deals out what he sees as justice in the form of punishment. And yeah, it doesn't matter whether he's dooming humanity, dooming the human race. He's going to do it anyway, because that is what the Punisher does. And I just loved the concept for this story, and it felt like so true to the heart of everything that I've ever read of the Punisher, anything that I know about the Punisher. And that felt like what this story should be. And I think that's what Old Man Logan lacked the most, was that it didn't really seem to tell me a lot about Wolverine. It didn't seem to be that concerned with the character almost. It seemed more interested in the world that it could build around this story, and the fight scenes that it could muster up. Whereas this Punisher just felt like really boiled down to, what is this character essentially? What is his worldview? Let's see him enact that at the end of the world. So it literally is the Punisher, the end. Like, it couldn't, that title couldn't be more apt. Yeah, I thought it was really fun. And just one issue. Like, I think it might be a 48-page issue, but I would definitely recommend this as a read. Yeah, as I said, that one's not an unlimited, but you can track it down. So The Punisher, the End, from Garth Ennis and Richard Corbin. But that's it for this week's podcast. Don't forget that next week's show, or our next main episode, is on Tank Girl. We think now we might have to plug in a bonus episode next week rather than going straight to Tank Girl, because James is heading off to an international junket for Iron Fist, so won't be around when we record. And Tank Girl was James's pick for the podcast, so we definitely don't want to record that episode without him. So we'll probably be pushing Tank Girl back a week and plugging in some kind of bonus episode at the moment. Seb and I haven't landed 100% on what that is. So I guess if you've got any ideas of stuff you particularly want us to discuss on the show, that we can devote an episode to, just throw us a tweet and we'll definitely take it into consideration. We got a few ideas, but as I said, nothing set in stone just yet. But yeah, after that, we will definitely be getting to Tank Girl, which I've never seen, so I'm really looking forward to. And our pod guest last week, Michael Leader, pointed out to me, would that be potentially our first movie on the podcast from a female director? And I think he might be right. There's not an awful lot to choose from in the comic book movie world. So yeah, that might be our first one, which is crazy. We will definitely have at least one more before the year is out, because Wonder Woman is being released, and that is directed by Patty Jenkins as well. So, yeah, we'll at least have two before the end of this year, and hopefully there will be many more in the future as well, not just when they have female lead characters as well. But yeah, so maybe a bonus episode next week, and then we'll get to Tank Girl. Yeah, so if you're enjoying the show, then please do subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, or your podcast app of choice. And you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/cinematicuniverse. We haven't been reading out iTunes reviews for quite a while on the podcast, but I'm keen to start doing that again. So if you would like to leave us reviews on iTunes, we'll read those out on the show. So good or bad, 1 star, 5 stars, anything in between, we'll read them out. Obviously, we prefer 5 stars, but yeah, please leave us a review because it just helps us grow the podcast and get it into the ears of more people. You can find more episodes of the show at cinematicmultiverse.com, and you can get in touch via Facebook, on Twitter, at @CU_podcast, or send us an email to cinematicuniversepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.